2 Kings 13 and verse number 14. The Bible says here, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died." He hadn't died yet, okay? But what that's saying is, this is the sickness that was going to wind up taking his life. Let's read on. "And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elijah said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elijah put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." Notice the words here. "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them." So they shot one arrow out the window, right? Him and Elijah both together, hands on the bow, shot one arrow out. He told him the arrow of deliverance. Now verse 18, "And he said, Take the arrows." Elisha tells the king here, "Take the arrows." "And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed." So then, now after that first arrow, both of them shot out the window. Here he took, and he said, "King, take the arrows. Smite the arrow on the ground. Shoot arrows on the ground," he said. And he did it three times, King Joash did, and then he stayed. "And the man of God was wroth with him." He was upset. "And said, Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." And notice the first part of verse 20, "And Elisha died, and they buried him." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done today. Thank you for your word. Thank you this morning for, dear Lord, the good songs that's been sung this morning about the joy you have in our, placed in our hearts as your children. Dear Lord, from the day that we got saved, the joy that you give us. Dear Lord, we thank you for that old rugged cross. We thank you for the grace, dear Lord, that you bestowed, dear Lord, and offered freely through salvation and through the cross, dear Lord, to us. I pray, dear Lord, today as we open your word, and dear Lord, as we look at the message you laid on our hearts this morning, I pray that you'd help me this morning, hide me behind the cross, dear Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak the words this morning from your scripture, the words that you've laid on my heart, to each heart here, including my own. I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord, this morning to not just see this as another service, not to just go through the motions half-heartedly, but help us, dear Father, to see how important, dear Lord, these things are we're looking at this morning and each time we gather together in your house. Help us, dear Father, I pray today, to respond as you speak to our hearts. Thank you for your love. Thank you for how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll never forget, I look back, sometimes you look back on things that have happened in the past in your life. You look back at them and you say, you know what? We have a term we use, I guess the best way for me to express this. That was the good old days, right? We all do that at times. We look back and we say, boy, that was the good old days. I remember back when, I'll use some examples. I hear some people say sometimes we can leave the doors unlocked. Some of y'all say amen, amen. Right? You know, didn't even really need the locks to a point, other than if you had a little kid maybe to, you know, make sure they didn't run away. You wouldn't worry about them going outside by themselves, right? Because everything was going to be okay. Neighbors would look out for them, take care of them. Wouldn't be no issue. And a lot of times we look back and we think about the good old days. I think about in my own life, you know, I look back now at some of the days that I thought wasn't so good, and some of them still I think wasn't so good, to be honest. But some of them I look back on and I think, you know what? For me, those were the good old days. I'll never forget some of those days, times, places, things that I enjoyed. And I've especially been thinking about some of those things the last few weeks with deaths in the family and those types of things. Those a lot of times bring back memories of stuff to you, right? And I say all that to say that I've thought about back many times about for the 5 years that I travel on the road with Bilo from store to store working for the district manager. Everybody told me, they said, you got the cake job. Oh, you got it made. You got easy. You got the cake job. There was very few people that liked me back then. But when I come in and do my thing, Brent probably, I don't know if he cared for me or not. But most of the managers didn't. A few of them did, you know, that kind of understood. But there's a lot of things the Lord taught me through those 5 years about people, working with different people, different personalities, different attitudes, how you handle people differently, that have helped me a lot in my life. And some of y'all's been through things like that that you've learned a lot from. And I say that to say this, that one of the things that I had to do when I went into every store almost was be what some people would call a tattletale. I tried my best not to be a tattletale. Instead, I tried always to keep it between me and the person that was there, the manager, whoever it was, the store, what needed to be done, and get things taken care of. And if we could get it taken care of before the boss man ever knew, then what was the point in telling him, right? As long as it was taken care of, unless he asked. Now, if he asked me, I was going to tell him the truth. I wasn't going to lie to him, right? But there was one thing I learned through that, and that was that you had to be careful how you say things. You say, what do you mean? Because when I first started, I had somebody else who had been working with him for a while tell me this. They said, Gerald, you need to be careful how and what you say things because sometimes people can take it wrong. And I said, okay, well, I found out what they meant. I'll give you an example. One day I went to a store. The store was bad. Okay? It was a little rough. And I walked in, and then Calvin called me, and he said, hey, how's the store look? Well, wasn't going to lie to him, right? So I told him, I said, this thing's a disaster. And I used the words he's used many times with me in the past. He said, it's burning down. I said, it's a disaster, Calvin. It's rough. It's burning down. We got a lot of work to do. And guess what happened a few minutes later? He showed up. After all, I told him, what? It's a disaster. It's burning down. We got a lot of work to do. So he's going to come see what's burning down and see the smoke, right? And see the flames for himself. So he comes in. He looks at it. He walks around, does his thing. Then he comes back to me and he said, Gerald, I'm telling you this story for a reason. He looked back at me and he said, Gerald, he said, this store is rough. He said, we do have, he said, a lot of things we need to get fixed. He said, you was right. You were honest with me. He said, I appreciate that. He said, always tell me the truth. He said, but, he said, you need to be careful how you say things. I'm like, okay, well, you want me to tell you the truth? What do you want, you know? And he looked at me. He said, well, Gerald, he said, I've always said it this way. He said, when you told me it's a disaster and it was burning down, he said, I just thought it was, you know, just a total wreck. He said, it is in bad shape. He said, don't get me wrong. He said, but instead, he said, this is what I'd like for you to think about. He said, instead, as he said, there's a lot of opportunities here. And I listened to him and I thought about that. And I started to realize that as he showed me some of the things on there, he said, there's just a lot of opportunities, things that we need to work on, to improve on. You know, nobody's perfect, all those types of things. We got opportunities. He said, so just think about that, he said, from now on, he said, when you approach people, how you talk to them, he said, the thing is, he said, there's a lot of opportunities. And I thought about that, and I never forgot that. You say, why do you say that? Because simply that I think sometimes we might think something's a total disaster, and it might be rough, but it might not be a total disaster. You got what I'm saying? I'm simply saying sometimes there's missed opportunities. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, missed opportunities. That was one of my boss man's favorite sayings. And so I learned that when things were bad, unless it was just really bad, Brother Gary, Instead, the right thing to say was, we got some opportunities. And then I'll tell him what a couple of opportunities was. And why do I say that? Because I think that a lot of times in our lives, let's face it, we have missed opportunities, don't we? If I ask everybody in the building this morning to raise your hand if you've ever missed an opportunity, whether it be something just life or spiritual or investment-wise, money-wise maybe. Boy, I wish I'd invested in this stock years ago and realized how big this was going to be. You know, that type of thing. Then think of how much, you know, all those types of things. We all have things we look back on and we say, boy, that was a missed opportunity. And we all think about those things sometimes. I've always said this, but and the Lord gave me this years ago, and I believe it's very true. And I think if you think about it, you'd agree with me on this too, that once, and this is the quote the Lord gave me, that once this second is gone, there's not a second chance to repeat it. Once this second is gone, there's not a second chance to repeat it. In other words, a lot of times we as believers talk about, and it's right, we say that God is a God of what? Second chances. Third chances. Fourth chances. Lots of chances. And amen, He is. Amen? But once this second is gone, there's not a second chance to repeat it. I think about, I give you an example. There's been many people, and I'm thinking about one in particular, but I won't use any names. But I'm thinking about some people that take and earlier in life, they have the opportunity to get saved. The Lord dealt with their heart, convicted them about salvation, and they took and they said no and missed the opportunity to get saved. Then years later, tragedy strikes. Something bad happens in their life, maybe even toward the end of that person's life. They finally wake up, amen, the Lord shakes them with something. They realize the end is near, and they take, and I believe people truly do sometimes have, if you will, bedside, they get saved toward the end. I believe that. Some people don't, but I believe people do sometimes. But you can't bank on that. You don't know if you have that opportunity. But I say all that to say this, that person, I've heard many take, and they'll look back years later, and they'll say, boy, I had a lot of wasted years. In other words, there was a missed opportunity years ago to accept the Lord as their Savior. Was God a God of second chances in that case that I gave you the example of? Did God take and give them a chance to get saved before they died? Yes. I could put names with that example, but I'm not going to. And maybe some of y'all could too. God did give them a chance, and they did get saved. Then some, they didn't have a chance later. But God did give them a chance. They did get saved, but then they look back and they say, boy, I wish I would have years ago. In other words, I'm simply saying that that person, yes, God gave them a second chance, but they didn't have a second chance to go back and repeat and fix in that moment years ago the bad decision they made, and all those years were lost. In the end, things turned out good. They got saved. But when they got to heaven, yes, they got to go in, but you know what? Think of how many souls that person maybe could have won to the Lord. Think about how much they maybe could have did for God all those years. How much heartache, how much strife, how much of all those things that they got caught up in would have never happened if they would have come to know the Lord years ago. Why? Because once this second is gone, there's not a second chance to repeat it. You can't go back. You can't take, I wish we could DVR our lives. I wish we could rewind, if you will, to a point. In other words, we could go back 10 years ago when I said this or did this, or 10 minutes ago or a minute ago, rewind, edit, fix it. Okay, now let's go on. Right? It don't work that way. There's not a second chance to repeat it. There might be a chance to make things right. Amen. There might be a chance to correct what we did wrong. There might be a chance to fix it as much as we can. But once it's done, it's done. There's not a second chance. You think about missed opportunities. We can't rewind the time of our lives and get a do-over. Although sometimes God does give us second chances. We can't totally erase the missed opportunities. Today we're going to look at, from Scripture, some missed opportunities. I mentioned a while ago, Wasted Years. If you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to look up that song. There's a song that was written years ago. It's called Wasted Years, Wasted Years. Oh, how foolish, when I walked on in darkness and fear. And the song says in the end part of the chorus, turn around, turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. In other words, there is a such thing as a second chance, but that doesn't wipe out. In God, in salvation it does, but as far as that lost time, it doesn't wipe all that out. In other words, there's a lot of wasted, missed opportunities. Here we take in 2 Kings chapter 14, I believe we see a missed opportunity. We're going to look at some missed opportunities from Scripture, and this is the first of them. We're going to look at three this morning. The first one in 2 Kings 13, we saw here where Joash went to the king, to Elisha right before he died. He was on his deathbed. This was going to be the sickness to death, if you will, for him. I don't know exactly what he had or was going on, but he was sick, and it was the sickness that was going to take his life. And he took and he told the king, get the bow, get the arrows. They took, they shot the one arrow. Then they take, they get the, he says, king, take the bow, strike the ground with the bow, with the arrows. The king takes the Bible, we read it. He said three times he took and he shot the arrows into the ground. And he thought, okay, that's good enough. But he should have known better. You say, why in the world do you think he should have known better? And some may want to argue that, and if you do, that's fine. I think he should have knew better because if he would have listened what he said after he shot the first arrow together with Elijah, he would have realized this wasn't just simply, I want to shoot an arrow before I die for the fun of it one more time. This was, these arrows meant something. He told him, see, these arrows, he said back in our verse there, in verse 17, it said, these are the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, he said, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. These arrows meant something. These arrows he were getting ready to shoot meant something. It wasn't just shooting the arrows with Elijah one last time, if you will. Instead, they meant something. And he took those arrows and he shot it three times on the ground and he said, okay, well, that's good enough. And Elijah took and got upset with him, the Bible says. He got upset and he told him, you shouldn't have done that. You should have used five or six arrows. You should have emptied out the quiver. Amen. You should have used every arrow you had. You shouldn't have took and just used three, because now you're only going to defeat the Syrians three times. But if you would have done five or six, you could have wiped them out altogether. You think about, here was a man in Joash that took and, if you will, missed the opportunity for complete victory. He missed the opportunity for complete victory. If he wouldn't have half-heartedly, amen, took and shot those arrows in the ground, three of them, and said, well, that's good enough, I did what he said. If he would have taken and wholeheartedly listened and did exactly what he was saying and would have put his heart into it, I think he would have shot five or six arrows. And God would have gave him a complete victory. How many times do you and I miss, if you will, miss opportunities to do the things God would have us to do because we do things half-heartedly? Half-heartedly. Oftentimes we do things half-heartedly in our Christian life, don't we? We do things half-heartedly in life altogether, don't we? We take, instead of doing things with our whole heart, putting our energy into it, if you will, as they say in sports, leaving it all out there on the court or out there on the field, instead of that, we take and we do things half-heartedly. A lot of times you'll see players out on a sporting game and they'll do stuff half-heartedly, won't they? They'll take and they'll make a bad play. They'll throw an interception. This happened just this past week, by the way. If you watched any of the Panthers game, and the announcers was chewing out Will Greer, the new rookie quarterback guy, because of it. He threw a bad pass. Guess what? Or fumbled the ball one, and guess what happened when he turned over the ball? He stopped on the play. He quit. Guess what happened? The guy ran all the way back the other way for a touchdown. And the announcers was like, why didn't he even try? He didn't even try to go get him. He didn't even try to do nothing. But you think about what he maybe could have saved from happening, a missed opportunity. You think about sometimes in our Christian life, what do? We make a mistake, we do something, wrong, maybe fail, if you will, in our lives in some area. And what do? Rather than getting back up and going on for the Lord and trying to fix those things, what do? We just quit. You think about here, it was a missed opportunity for complete victory as he took and only shot those arrows in the ground three times. How many times do we do things half-hearted for God? How many times do we read our Bible out of routine? Maybe rather than half-hearted, we might say routine, we do things for God. We don't have our heart in it. We're just routinely doing it. It's what we always do. It's what we've always done. Or maybe it's what we know we ought to do, right? And so we're just half-heartedly doing them. Elisha said, do it. So I'm shooting a couple of arrows. Okay, I'm done with it. God said, read the Bible. So I'm doing it. Okay, I'm done with it. God said, take and pray. So here I am. Now lay me down to sleep. I prayed today. Check that off the list. Move on with it. God said, take and go to church. It's Sunday. Okay, I'm going this morning. I ain't going tonight or Wednesday night. Check that off the list. I went to church this week. Amen. Half-heartedly. I'm showing up. I'm here. I'm doing these things. But I'm not putting my heart into it. I'm shooting three arrows rather than five or six and emptying out the quiver and doing what God fully, wholeheartedly would have me to do. You think about today, sometimes people do that with tithe, don't they? I could really go here, we take and we half-heartedly. You say, what do you mean? The plate comes by and we say, well, I better do it. If not, my car break down or septic pump. Or if not, somebody will say, why didn't you give no money? Which I would never do that because I don't know what nobody gives or don't give, thank the Lord. But you take and you put it in and you think, well, I guess I better do this. Rather than being a cheerful giver like the Bible talks about. Amen. We do things half-heartedly for God. I think about witnessing. Sometimes we might take and say, well, you know what? I know we're supposed to pass out tracts. I hadn't been passing out any, so I'm going to get a few and start handing them out, whatever. And I know I need to invite some people so I can say I invited people if anybody asked a homecoming, so I'm going to invite them. We half-heartedly do things for God rather than putting our heart into it when it comes to all these things of service. And we could keep on naming things for Him. How many times have we missed an opportunity for the Lord and missed the opportunity for complete victory because we put our half heart into it? I think about soul winning in particular. You say, what do you mean? You think about, the Bible talks about in the book of Psalms, I believe it, it talks about, he that goeth forth, and I'm paraphrasing with weeping, it uses those words, shall doubtless come again, bringing his seeds with him. Sheaves with him. In other words, that when we go out soul winning, each person, each soul we see, each person we get the opportunity to talk to, each tract that we get to leave on the door, we should realize that is a soul that's headed one or two places. And it should burden our heart even to the point of tears and weeping at each one, realizing the severity, amen, and the seriousness of what we're talking about. Amen. And the fact that we ought to put our whole heart into it, not just, hey, here's you something if you want to read it later on. I say that sometimes to people, but there's a difference between that and I want to give you something. Read later on when you get a chance. It's important. Amen. There's a difference. In other words, putting our heart into what we're doing. Amen. You can tell a lot of times when people are half-hearted about things. Amen. And when they're putting their heart into it. I tell you, you think about here, there's a complete victory. Amen. Here, how many times have we missed a complete victory in our lives? Amen. Maybe over some sin in our life we're struggling with. Because we say, yeah, but our heart really isn't in to, Lord, I realize this is wrong. I realize I shouldn't do this. I realize how serious this is. Lord, help me with this. Forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. You think about, here he missed the opportunity for complete victory because he did it, I believe, half-heartedly and didn't listen to what the man of God had told him about the fact that, hey, these are the arrows of deliverance. He shot three times. Yeah, he had deliverance three times. But think of how much more victory could have been given if he would have shot it more. If he had put his heart, his whole heart into it.